It's good to see everyone in the house of the Lord this morning. Certainly want to thank you for coming out. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would be turning with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. We'll start reading there in verse 8 of 1 Chronicles chapter 28. It says, "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know that the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If thou wilt seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I just thank you for everyone that's come out to hear your word this morning, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you give me the words that need to be said, Lord, and only those words. May they be received as your words and not my words, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so here in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we are at the end of King David's life. He is sick. He has just announced his son Solomon as the next king of Israel, and he's given Solomon some instructions. Now remember, King David, during his lifetime, he had several accomplishments. It said that he was a man after God's own heart. He united Israel back again under one king. He expanded the territory. The nation of Israel prospered greatly under King David. So we see here that he's given his son some words of wisdom that he can rule by. Some things he needs to do so that he can be a great king also of the nation of Israel. The first thing that I see here in his instruction is that he is to know God. There's a lot of people that know about God, but there's not a lot of people that know him. To be a Christian, we have to know Jesus, not just know about him. But we also have to have a personal relationship with him. I want one of those relationships where I say, "Hello, Jesus," and he says, "Hello, Jeffrey." I want to be on a first-name basis with him. Now, when we're in a relationship with somebody, we generally want to spend time with the other person. Husband and wife, good friends. Generally, when you're in a relationship, we want to spend time with each other. We enjoy each other's company. So David's first instruction to Solomon is to know God, spend time with the Lord. Might say, "How do we spend time with the Lord?" We can do that by reading and studying His Word. After all, we have a lot more of His Word than David and Solomon did. We have the complete Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to talk to Jesus. After all, He died for each and every one of us. For all the pain and suffering that He went through, don't you think He wants to talk to us? And there's prayer. No substitute for it. James was mentioning earlier, in June, as we switch our Wednesday nights over to prayer time, if we truly want to see God's work and see Him work in our lives, there's no better substitute than prayer. Along with prayer comes the quiet time. And that's just sitting there listening for Him to talk back to us, listening for His answers. So the first step that we see here that David gives to Solomon is these to know God. The second step there in verse 9 says to serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Perfect heart. He's talking about our motives there. You know, we know our motives ourselves, why we do things, even when things don't work out the way they're supposed to. We judge ourselves by our motives. But a lot of times when we look at others and things don't go right for them, we tend to judge them by their actions, not necessarily their motives. But God looks at the inside, not the outside. He looks and He sees what our motives are. Motives are very important to the Lord. In fact, Jesus talked a lot about motives in Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, why don't you flip over there with me to Matthew chapter 6 for a minute. We'll read a few verses here out of Matthew chapter number 6. Starting there in verse 1, it says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, that thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their rewards. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." Think about that. Jesus here is talking, he gives two examples. Alms, when you give to the poor. He says, do it for the right reasons. Give to the poor because they need it, because you want to show Jesus to the poor. Don't do it for what other people may think. When you pray, your conversation's between you and the Lord. Doesn't matter what everybody around you thinks. You shouldn't be doing it for what other people think, right? Should be doing it for yourself and your relationship with the Lord. I think it's interesting here that Jesus gives two examples. One is money, and our other is conversation with the Lord. Two very important things. And David told Solomon he had to have a perfect heart. I think he was talking about his motives. Keep them pure. Keep them just. Whatever you do, do it for the right reasons. Don't do it for what other people should think. Because you know things will go wrong. And people will judge us because of what we do. And there will be people who don't like us because of what we do. Because we're Christians. Because we confess to know Jesus. Because we pray in His name. Because we see results from those prayers. People are not going to like us, so we can't make everybody happy. So we shouldn't be worrying about what those people are thinking. We need to worry about what God thinks. Because in the end, He's the one that's going to judge us. And it's His opinion of us that's truly going to matter. And part of that instruction with serving Him was to have a willing mind. When I think about a willing mind, I think, you know, there's lots of times Jesus probably told us to do something, and before we can even process what He's telling us, our mind's already coming up with reasons why we can't. Such as if Jesus ever told us to give money to someone or something, and before our hand can get to our wallet, our mind's already come up with 10 reasons of why we shouldn't, why we need that money for us, why that person doesn't really need it. Maybe they're just going to blow it and not use it in the way we think that they should use it. But that's not really what the Lord told us, was it? He just told us to do it, and that's what we should do. And I have an example here to go with a willing mind. I'm going to confess one of my shortcomings. One of the times when I didn't have a willing mind. I didn't really realize it till it was too late. Y'all probably all see me wearing my t-shirt that says "Body Piercing Saved My Life," right? Black t-shirt, got the letters on it. I know y'all seen it. Y'all probably all think, what kind of freak we got up here for a pastor that's got body piercings. I can see the look on y'all's faces. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's a shirt that gets your attention. People think about it. I can tell. I can see the looks they have on when people are reading the shirt. On the front, it says, "Body Piercing Saved My Life." And on the back, it has the scripture from Isaiah, where it's talking about where he was pierced and wounded for our transgressions. It's a conversation starter. It's the whole point of the shirt, right? It's to get people thinking. Well, I was wearing that shirt one day down at Myrtle Beach. The kids were in the swimming pool. I went and sat down in the chair beside the lady so I could watch the kids. And she asked me, "What's your shirt talking about? How did body piercing save you?" And I just gave a short answer. I said, "Well, it's referring to Jesus being the nails going through his arm, nail going through his feet." She said, "Oh," and I just kind of left it at that. And after she got up and left, it dawned on me that I missed the perfect opportunity to witness to that woman. She's been on my mind a lot since that day. Never seen her before. Don't know if I'll ever see her again. The Lord gave me the opportunity to talk about him, and I blew it. Don't know where my mind was that day. It must have been on vacation too. Been in neutral, something. Because God gave me the opportunity, but my mind wasn't willing. Don't know where it was that day, but I messed up. So we have to have a willing mind, so when those opportunities come, our mind's ready there to give us the words we need to say. All right, back in 1 Chronicles, the next instruction that David gives to Solomon is to seek him. The last part of verse 9, it says, "If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." How do we seek the Lord? First one, in my mind, comes back to knowing how to pray, having that conversation. Seek him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. We all know we're supposed to, but do we actually do it? If we went around this room this morning and asked, "If you've talked to Jesus today," how many of you would be able to say yes? After all, this is the day that the Lord hath made, right? Have we thanked him today? Every one of us woke up, got out of bed on our own two feet, and was able to walk in here. That's a lot to be thankful for right there. You know, a lot of times it's the little things we overlook. But we truly do have so much to thank him for, and it doesn't take that long just to thank him. After all, we're in a country where we can walk in here and worship. We don't have to hide and to sit in a secret church service. We can leave our Bibles out on our coffee table. We don't have to hide them somewhere in fear of somebody seeing them. We have a lot to be thankful for. So we have a lot to seek the Lord for and say, "Thank you." In Psalms, it says, "Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore." In everything we do, we should seek the Lord's advice. Do you make decisions on your own and then wonder why you made the wrong decision? It's because we didn't stop and ask Jesus his opinion on this situation. I'm sure we can all think of situations that we got ourselves into because we tried to figure out the situation with our mind instead of consulting with Jesus. And if Jesus didn't tell us to do it, then why are we even considering to do it in the first place? Stop and let that sink in. Think about it. If Jesus didn't tell us to do it, then why are we even considering doing it? After all, if he knows the past, the present, and the future, and he knows what tomorrow holds and what's going to happen, why wouldn't we want his input on our decisions in life? Even the little seemingly inconsequential choices that we make every day. So we see here that David's advice to Solomon, know God, serve him, seek him. You want to do great things for God? You want God to do great things for us? The answer to that question is in verse 7. It says, moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. There it is. The Lord says he'll do his part and he'll establish the kingdom. But there's that little two-letter word in there, if. We have to do our part. God wants to bless us. God wants to use us. God wants to use us to do great things. He wants to use us to bring others to the saving knowledge of him. But we have to be consistent. Consistency is a big key. Think about it. In the book of James, it talks about a person that wavers like the wind. A two-minded person is unstable in all his ways. Consistency. The world's looking to us. They want to see consistency. They want to see that we walk the walk as well as talk the talk. They want to know, are we the real deal? Consistency is what they're looking for. You might say, why do we have to be consistent? Does it really matter? Yes, it does. And here's an example from King David's life. Look with me there in chapter 28. Let's back up to verse 3. King David is speaking here. He has all the who's who, so to speak, of Israel's gathered, the priests, the captains of his army, all the men in the king's court. And he says, but God has said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. King David wanted to build a resting spot for the Lord's house. Remember, in this time, the Lord is symbolized in the Ark of the Covenant, and they take it everywhere they go with them. It doesn't have a permanent home. Under King David's rule, Jerusalem's been established as the capital. They have a permanent homeland. They're not a bunch of nomads wandering around carrying it with them. So he's ready to build a temple, a place for the ark to rest. King has the plans. He's got the money. He's got the workers. He's got everything he needs to do except God's permission. Why? It says he's shed blood. Y'all remember Bathsheba, right? The wife of Uriah, the Hittite. You remember the story of David coming out of the palace, looking up, seeing her sunbathing. He wanted her as his, but she was already married. So David came up with a plan to send Uriah into battle on the front lines where he was killed. That's why King David had blood on his hands. He sent Uriah to the front lines to be killed so that he could have Bathsheba. And he got her. And she was Solomon's mother. But you know what? His sin stopped one of his greatest desires. And that was to build the Lord's house. That days and those weeks, David wasn't being consistent in following God's commands. So that's why it's extremely important for us to be consistent in following what God tells us to. It just takes that one bad decision to ruin our testimony, ruin our ministry, and to keep us from achieving and doing the things for God that we would have him to do. So my message this morning was titled, How to Succeed as a Christian. And these are the basic steps David gave us. Know God, serve Him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind, and to seek Him and consistently carry out God's commands. I'll ask everyone if they would stand, please. I'll ask our musicians to come. Every head bowed, no one looking around. I know it was a short message this morning, but this is the message the Lord gave me. I'm sure someone here needed to hear it, but these are just some simple steps on how we can succeed individually in our Christian lives. The altar's open. If you have sin in your life that you need to come forward and confess and get right with God, if you've not been doing your part to seek Him, to serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, come, make it right with the Lord, and start today afresh and anew. Let's lead a successful life. Our days are numbered. Let's finish out successful. Let's accomplish great things for the Lord.